Okay, so buksan natin ang Bibles natin sa aklat ng Psalm number 33. Psalm number 33. So, sa book of Psalm, sa aklat ng Psalms, lima ang bahagi ng aklat ng Psalms. Ito ay kinompile o kinolekta na ni Asaph, yung chief musician na makikita natin sa aklat ng Psalms. Maaari rin itong kinolekta ni King David, hindi tayo sure. Maaari din itong kinolektan at inareglo ni Ezra. Okay, so meron tayong iba't ibang mga theories kung sino ang nag-collect o nag-arrange ng aklat ng Psalms. Pero isa ang katotohanan na alam natin for sure na ang may akda ng aklat ng Psalms ay ang banal na Espiritu ng Diyos. So it's the Holy Spirit of God who authored the book of Psalms, as he authored the entire scripture. He just used human instruments to bring it together. Whether it's David or Asaph or Ezra, the human instrument really doesn't matter. The important thing is the Holy Spirit of God, because this book of Psalms is an inspired book, authored by the Holy Spirit. And so, but as we study the book of Psalms, I have to take a backward review, because Psalm 33 doesn't have a title. If you notice that Psalm 33, it just goes into rejoice in the Lord. And it's an untitled psalm within the division of book number one, between Psalm 1 and Psalm 41. So that's the first book. Psalm 33 is untitled along with three other psalms in the first book. That would be Psalm 1, Psalm 2, and Psalm 10, and then Psalm 33. So there are four untitled psalms in the first book of the book of Psalms. And so you see here the chart. There are five divisions, lima ang bahagi ng book of Psalms. At kinokolekta yan. Tapos ang katapusan ng chapter 41 or yung Psalm 41 ay may benediction or blessing. Tapos magsisimula na naman ang book number 2, Psalm 42 hanggang 72. Katapusan ng 72, meron na naman blessing, benediction. Tapos book 3, Psalm 73 to 89. Book 4, 90-106. Book 5, 107-150. Siyempre yung 150, puros blessing yun. And so, the book of Psalms can be divided or actually is divided by five books, five divisions, and you could see the appropriate divisions for the book of Psalms. In the first division, there are four psalms that do not have a title, don't have the inspired heading, doesn't give us a heading, but there are clues so that we know they kind of where they fit, all right? So Psalm 1 and 2, for example, because of the inclusio, which we studied about in the previous lectures, we know they are connected. And then we know Psalm 1 and 2 is authored by David because of the book of Acts, referring to Psalm 2, referring that passage to David. And we've looked at that. By the way, you can review all the studies of the Psalms that we've done, including the study notes at sermonaudio.com. And anyway, Or you can go back to the Facebook lectures or even in the webpage of Sermon Audio. So there are many ways you can get back to the review of the Psalms. Anyway, so I wanted to share that with you. And then, of course, Psalm 10 is a broken acrostic connected to Psalm 9. Even in the themes, you could see they have a connection. Now, in Psalm 33, there's no title, but there's a connection with Psalm 32. So we'll look at that in a little bit. But let me clarify this so that we know where we're at. Now, so we have Psalm 33 at matatapos na yung book number 1. Kasi hanggang chapter 41 lang yung book 1. So ibig sabihin, 8. No? We only have 8 chapters to go, and we will complete our study of the book of Psalms, book 1. Okay? And then we're going to take a break from the book of Psalms, and we'll study other portions of the scriptures. But I wanted to share that with you, that 8 more sections, and we are complete with book number 1. And then we'll go back again to book number 2 in the near future. And then we'll take a break and then study some other portions of scripture, and then go to book number 3 and book number 4 and book number 5 subsequently. Okay, so ganyan ang pag-aaral natin sa book of Psalms. Okay, all right, so Psalm number 33. Psalm number 33, verse number 1. Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely, suitable, appropriate. Praise is comely for the upright. So ang tema ng Psalm 33 ay maging masaya at magalak tayo at purihin ang Panginoon. This is a psalm of rejoicing and praising the Lord. And also it's a psalm of reverence and worship to God, acknowledging Him as sovereign and powerful and good and true and faithful and benevolent. This is a psalm of rejoicing and praise and reverence, if I could put that there. But if you notice, Psalm 33 doesn't have a title, but it's connected to Psalm 32. And last time we studied Psalm 32, last week we studied Psalm 32, we discovered that Psalm 32 is a psalm of divine forgiveness. Remember, David confessed his sin against Uriah and Bathsheba and the Lord, etc. He confessed his sin before the Lord. And what happens when we confess our sin to God? Remember, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins because of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So we got that. We learned that last week. There's divine forgiveness. What follows divine forgiveness? Well, we learned last week instructions from God follow. And here it's like the psalm is continuing. Look at Psalm 32, verse number 11. So, pinagpapatuloy lang ng Psalm 33 ang resulta ng Psalm 32. Look at Psalm 32, verse number 11. Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You see those key words? Be glad and rejoice. Ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So there, joy and gladness and rejoicing always follows true brokenness and confession and forgiveness. When God forgives us, He cleanses us, and He restores our joy. And we can have rejoicing praises to God. So now look at chapter 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. So again, the theme continues onto this section 33. All right. Verse number 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, let's not forget that David was a musician. You know, let's not forget that he is called in 2 Samuel chapter 23, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And so he's very much involved in music. Of the house of the Lord. And in his day, the house of the Lord was the tabernacle. In fact, David organized the music ministry of the tabernacle. Go back to 1 Chronicles. Tingnan natin yung 1 Chronicles chapter 6. So sa kapanahon ni David, yung lugar ng pagpupuri ay yung tabernacle. At huwag nating kalimutan, yan si David ay musician, no? Musician siya ng Panginoon. At inorganize niya ang pagpupuri ng mga music, pag-awit, pagtugtog ng mga instrument sa lugar ng pagpupuri ng kapanahunan niya, yan yung tabernacle. So, tingnan mo ang 1 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse number 31. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Verse 31. Now the Bible says, and these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. So David was very much concerned about music, the good music, godly music, the right singing, and the right instrumentation to music. Who did he set over? It says in verse 31, these are they whom David set over. Well, who are the these are they? Well, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 1. 1 Chronicles 6, 1, the sons of Levi. So the Levites, the priestly line, in the priestly family of Levites, there are responsibilities for taking care of the tabernacle. Some are in charge of the furniture. Some are in charge of the sacrifices. Some are in charge of transporting the furniture. Some are in charge of music. And that's where David appointed these men, these Levites. That would be Asaph and Jeduthun and Ethan and so on and so forth. And we have them in 1 Chronicles. Okay. All right, so verse number 3 says, sing a new song. Yung ibig sabihin ng new song, hindi yung bago. Okay? So, hindi ho tayo naniniwala sa tinatawag ng mundo yung contemporary Christian music. Ah? Pag narinig ninyo yung contemporary Christian music, wala hong kabutihan ang contemporary Christian music. Kasi nga, ang ginagawa ng maraming mga churches ay pinapasok yung rock o yung mga tugtog na makamundo. At maganda ang mga salita, maganda ang lyrics, pero pangit ang music dahil ang music ng rock ay makalaman, fleshly music. At tinuturuan tayo na gumawa ng mali. Okay? So, pakinggan ninyo ang mensahe ng music, hindi yung mensahe ng salita. Wala tayong problema sa salita. Maraming mga contemporary Christian music, yung salita, walang problema. The lyrics is not the problem. The problem with contemporary Christian music is the music. The message of the music contradicts the message of the words that they often mention. So, kailangan alam po natin kung anong ibig sabihin. What does the Bible mean when it says sing a new song in verse number 3? Is it talking about modern song, new, like, you know, a song that's recently composed? No, that's not what it's talking about. And certainly, it's not talking about contemporary Christian music. There's nothing Christian about contemporary Christian music. There are contradictions between the music and the words. What the Bible means when it says new song is referring to the heavenly song that we will all be singing one day because of our salvation. You can read about it in the book of Isaiah. You can read about it twice in the book of Revelation. It's also mentioned 6 times in the book of Psalms. But the new song refers to not timing, chronology, new as in chronological newness. The newness of the song here has more to do with the freshness of the song. The freshness of the song, meaning to say God's music is godly in quality, not fleshly in quality. The quality is what we're talking about. The quality of our music. Sing unto him a new song, a song that reflects the holiness of God. Not the contemporary Christian music that attracts the flesh and contradicts the words. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because that's very, very important. We need to evaluate our music according to the scriptures, not according to the culture, not according to the times that we live in. We have to allow the Word of God to transform us, in first to inform us and then to transform us. And we need to dig into the scriptures and see, what does God want me to listen to? How does God want me to use music in my life? You know, and so all of that comes under the scriptures. The scriptures teach us what good music is and what bad music is. So one of these days, maybe we'll look into the subject of music. Baka yun ang pag-aralan natin next time. But at this point, David is encouraging the upright and the godly to worship the Lord and rejoice and praise him with vocal music. That would be, the vocal part would be verse number 3. Sing is a different Hebrew word than verse number 2. Sing unto him with the psaltery. So there's instrumentation and vocal music in the tabernacle, and they're all important, and God wants us to do that. But notice what it says in verse 3. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully, skillfully. That's important. Worshiping God in excellence, okay? And so how do you become skillful in singing? How do you become skillful in instrumentation? Well, practice, practice, practice. And so God deserves our best. All right. I think of Jennifer. I think of Danielle. I think of Michelle. Michelle sang a beautiful song, and Miss Raquel playing the piano. And I saw that. And what a wonderful gift and ministry of edification that God would give us musicians. But it's important that musicians practice. Very, very important to play skillfully. That every word here is important, and so we need to develop it. And you will not develop skill if you do not practice and put in the time necessary to practice. I saw Mikey, no, nagtugtog siya ng, nagpe-prepare siya ng Christmas piano special. Napakasaya kami na nag-try siya at nagsumikap siya magpatuloy at mag-practice para kapag nag-minister ka sa church, ito ay maging blessing sa mga nakikinig. And hindi lang sa mga nakikinig, ito ay maging kaaya-aya sa tenga ng Panginoon at siya ang pangunahing audience natin sa church. And so, we find that praise is comely, it is suitable, it is appropriate for us after we've been forgiven to praise the Lord and to rejoice in Him, and He deserves our best. All right? Verse number 4. By the way, the outline, I almost forgot the outline. This one's for Brother Dan. This is a chiasm. So you see that verse number 1, 2, and 3, the theme is rejoice in the Lord. It connects with the last couple of verses here, rejoicing in the Lord. And so they're parallel because it's Hebrew poetry, although it's using a Greek device called chiasm. So then the Lord's goodness, verses 4 and 5, and we're going to look at the Lord's goodness, parallels verses 18 to 19 on the Lord's goodness as well. And then the heart of this outline is the Lord's sovereignty in verses 6 to 17. And we'll take a look at that here. So let's look at the Lord's goodness in verse number 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So righteousness and truth. God is all about righteousness and truth. Notice it says, for the word of the Lord is right. So one of the qualities of the Bible is that it is right and it is truth. So if you want to live right, you live by the Bible. If you want truth in your life, read the Bible. The word of the Lord will give you what's right and tell you what's true. All his works are done in truth. God doesn't lie. He speaks the truth. And verse number 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. When you hear the word judgment there, you should think justice. Justice, justicia. So ang Panginoon ay mahal niya ang matuwid, ang katuwiran, at ang justicia. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The word is the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, punong-puno ang mundo ng kabutihan ng Diyos. Is that true? Is that so? Is that right? Well, when you look at how God created this world and set it right, you could tell that even though it's under the curse of sin, it's still gracious for God to give us seasons and rain and provides for us. Even if you're not saved, God still cares and provides and takes care of people. Look at Matthew, for example, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Whether you're saved or not, God is good. Whether you know the Lord is your Savior or you're not saved, God is still good. Now, we want you saved. We want you to be born again. But if you're not saved, God is still good. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That they may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So God is good. And whether you're saved or not, his son, he'll share his son, the sunlight with you. He'll share the rain with you. He'll give you the opportunity to get saved. And whether you're saved or not, he wants you saved. But he's still good, even if you're not saved. But Acts chapter 14, look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. By the way, if you have physical life, which you should if you're watching this, unless you're dead. But if you have physical life, it's the goodness of God that he has given you this life to prepare you for the next life. This life is a preparation time for the future. We're not going to live on earth forever. Hello, this is not heaven. I'm so glad for that. There's going to be a time when our bodies, if Jesus doesn't return to rapture us who are saved, if he doesn't come back to rapture us, we're going to physically die and we'll be no more here on earth. But that's not the end. That's just, you know, salvation is just the beginning. We will live forever somewhere. And I pray that you know for sure that you have a home in heaven because of Jesus Christ. So anyway, look at Acts chapter 14, Acts 14, verse number 17, Acts 14, verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. This is God. This is the benevolence of God, the goodness of God, that he would give us all different kinds of fruits and fruitful seasons. No, mayroong mga iba't ibang kapanahunan, taglamig, taginit, tag-ulan, lahat yan ay ginagamit ng Diyos para meron tayong ani, para masagana ang lupa at magkaroon tayo ng mga prutas, pagkain. Napakabait ng Diyos sa atin. Kahit na yung bansa natin, baluktot at walang hustisya sa bansa natin, mahal pa rin tayo ng Diyos. Iniingatan pa rin tayo ng Diyos. Araw-araw, binibiyayaan tayo ng Diyos beyond na karapat dapat para sa atin. Ito ay dahil ang Diyos ay mapagmahal, may malasakit sa Diyos, at yung iba sa atin hindi ligtas, hindi saved, pero hindi pinagkakait ng Diyos ang kanyang kabutihan. Kung nais mo na maging saved, pwede kang iligtas ng Diyos. Kung nanaisin mo lang na sumunod sa Kanya, mag-surrender sa Kanya, tanggapin ka ng Diyos. Walang problema. Tanggapin mo si Kristo, tatanggapin ka ng Ama. Pero kung tanggihan mo si Kristo, tatanggihan ka talaga ng Ama. At ang kabutihan ng Diyos, hindi niya pinagkakait yan sa kahit sino. Alright, so God is good no matter what. And He gives us the opportunity to get saved. One more verse. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Tingnan mo ito, sabi dito. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Romans 1, 20. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, wala hong excuse sa mga ayaw magpa-save. Okay? Wala hong excuse yan. Kasi binigyan ho tayo ng opportunity ng Panginoon. Binigyan tayo ng buhay dito para maghanda sa buhay na ibibigay niya sa atin sa kabila. Kaya kung hindi ka save, wala kang maaasahan na langit. Hindi, ang langit ho ay hindi para sa lahat. Ang langit ay para doon sa sumasampalataya kay Hesukristo lamang. Umaasa sa Kanya, nananalig sa Kanya, kay Kristo. So, yung mga nakikinig na hindi saved, magpa-saved na kayo habang may panahon. Dahil hindi natin alam ang kapanahunan ng tao. One day, darating ang kamatayan, at pagkatapos nito ay ang hatol ng Diyos. Kaya dapat, pag tinanggap mo si Jesus Christ, hinatulan na tayo ng Diyos kay Kristo. Nung namatay si Kristo sa krus ng Calvary, no? Hinatulan siya ng Diyos. Alang-alang sa mga sumasampalataya sa Kanya. Kaya yung hatol natin lumipas na. Kaya alam natin, kung ikaw ay tunay na mananampalataya kay Kristo, nasa langit ang iyong espiritu. Nasa langit ang iyong kaluluwa sa oras ng kamatayan. Pero kung hindi ka pa sumasampalataya, nananalig kay Kristo lamang, Wala kang maaasahan. Sa oras ng kamatayan, hatol ng Diyos, ikaw ay dadalhin ng Diyos sa impyerno. At hindi nais ng Diyos na ilagay ka sa impyerno, pero kung tatanggihan mo si Kristo, wala tayong lunas. Walang iba pang tagapagligtas maliban lang kay Kristo. So, mabuti ang Diyos. God is good. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Balik tayo sa Psalm 33, verse number 6. Verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. So, tayo ba ay nag-evolve? Tayo ba ay naniniwala sa evolution na tinuturo ng mga false science? Yung mga peke na scientists na nagsasabing galing tayo sa unggoy. Tapos yan, naging profesor. Yung unggoy, naging profesor sa mga university. Kaya tayo ay nag-evolve. Millions of years ang evolution natin. Yan ba ang testimony ng Biblia? Yung mga nagbabasa ng Bible, alam ho nila, fake science ho yun. Hindi ho totoo yun, no? Ang totoo, nilikha ng Diyos ang tao sa kanyang wangis at sa kanyang likeness and image. Okay? Tayo ho ay hindi evolutionist. Tayo ay creationist according to the scriptures. Basahin ninyo ang aklat ng Genesis. At matuklasan nga ninyo kung tayo ay talagang nanggaling sa unggoy. O baka nanggaling tayo sa imahen at wangis ng Diyos. Oh, basahin mo ang Genesis. Okay? Tapos piliin mo kung sino paniniwalaan mo. Sasampalataya ka ba sa Biblia? O sasampalataya ka sa mga scientists na yan na galing sa unggoy? All right. So, verse number 6, the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Nilikha ng Diyos ang lahat ng mga kalangitan. Plural, no? Ang plural dito, nangangahulugan, merong espiritual na mga kalangitan na nilikha ng Diyos at merong physical na mga kalangitan na nilikha ng Diyos. Alright, so, nung nilikha ng Diyos ang lahat, pati na rin kasama na dyan yung mga anghel na hindi natin nakikita sa physical eyes natin. Yan yung mga bahagi ng invisible na nilikha ng Diyos according to Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. Tapos, yung mga nakikita natin, yung physical, hindi spiritual. Yan yung kalangitan ng yung blue sky na nakikita natin. Tapos, yung outer space, yung heavenly firmaments, yon. Yon, yung mga physical na yan. And all the host of them, yung host, yan yung stars, yan yung moon, yung sun, yung mga planets na iba. Na lumilibot sa earth. Okay? So, kasama na rin dyan yung mga invisible na nilikha ng Diyos. Sino yon? Yan yung mga seraphims, cherubims, yan yung mga creatures sa third heaven, ikatlong heaven. Basahin ninyo ang Bible at makikita ninyo merong mga visible, mga invisible na creation ng Diyos. Lahat yan ay galing sa Diyos. And it says here, by the breath of His mouth, yung breath of His mouth, hinga ng Diyos. No? Paano tayo nilikha ng Diyos? Basahin mo ang Genesis. Anong sinabi ng Diyos? Let there be light, and there was light. So next, God spoke, and everything came into existence. He made all things out of nothing, by the word of His power. That's the testimony of the scriptures. Ito yung sinasabi ng Bible. Hindi ho random chance and evolution. Millions of years ago, nagkaroon ng malakas na Big Bang. Tapos yung malakas na explosion, ay doon nag-develop yung mga planets, mga mundo natin. Tapos nagsimula tayo sa palaka. Tapos yung palaka naging ibon, yung ibon naging unggoy, tapos yung unggoy naging profesor o scientist. Hindi ho yan ang testimony ng Bible. Verse number 7, He gathered the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. And so, ang Diyos ang nag-gather. No? So, kaya may lupa, sinabi ng Diyos sa tubig, eto yung boundaries ng tubig. Tapos yun, lumabas yung lupa. And so, basahin ninyo ang scriptures. Tayo ho ay biblical creationist. Hindi ho tayo evolutionist. Hindi ho ako na, baka kayo naniniwala kayo doon, ha? Kung naniniwala ka sa evolution, walang Diyos. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng evolution. Lahat tayo ay aksidente. Lahat tayo ay walang kabuluhan. Random lang ho tayo. Yan yung isip ng utak ng ateista na bulok. Okay? Pero tayo ay Kristiyano. Ako ay Kristiyano. Ewan ko sa inyo kung kayo ay Kristiyano. I hope majority na nakikinig Kristiyano. Okay? Pero ako ay biblical na Kristiyano. Naniniwala kami sa Bible. At ang testimony ng Bible, meron tayong manlilikha. At yan ang Diyos. And so God is our creator. We are not evolutionists. We don't believe in evolution. And if it's up to you if you want to believe that. But you'll answer to God. Look at verse number 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. This is why people don't want to believe in God. This is why people don't want to acknowledge creation and acknowledge the Lord. Because if God is real and you don't put yourself under God, you're in trouble. Yan. Kaya maraming hindi, ayaw sumampalataya sa Biblia, ayaw sumampalataya kay Kristo, ayaw maniwala na merong Diyos, hindi sila naniniwala na may manlilikha. Dahil sa verse number 8, obligado ho ang buong mundo na matakot sa Diyos. Kaya kapag naniniwala ka na walang Diyos, edi wala kang katatakutan sa isip mo. Nabulok. Pero sa Bible, makikita mo talaga, obligado ho ang buong sanlibutan na matakot sa Diyos, na magkaroon ng takot sa Diyos. Kaya kapag ang tao hindi ligtas, may utang siya sa Diyos. Ano yung utang niya? Ang katakutan at pagpupuri at pasasalamat sa Diyos. Yan ang utang ng sanglibutan sa kanyang manlilikha. Ang problema, kailan mo binabayaran yan? Ngayon mo lang naisip ito. Kung nakikinig ka, baka antok yung iba, tulog na. Kay 7:21 ng gabi. Pasok labas sa Facebook. Anyway, let all the earth fear the Lord. Ano ang kulang sa sanlibutan natin? Bakit bulok ang sanlibutan natin? Wala kasi yung takot kay Jehovah. Walang takot sa Panginoon. Yung mga namumuno, walang hustisya kasi yung binabayaran, walang takot sa Diyos. Walang pagmamahal sa kapwa-tao. Nabibili. Nabibili sila, nadadala sila ng pera. Kaya walang hustisya sa mundong ito, sa ngayon. Pero balang araw, babalik si Jesus Christ. At pagbalik niya, sasagutin niya lahat ng mga kabaluktutan ng mundong ito. Amen. Alright, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. No, magkaroon tayo ng worship at wonder in the presence of the Lord. Ang problema natin kasi, ina-idol natin yung tao. Nag-a-idol tayo ng mga tao. Mali ho yun. Isa lang ang dapat bigyan ng pagpupuri at pasasalamat. Isa lang ang karapat-dapat. Yan ay ang Panginoong Jesucristo. Jehovah God is the only one we should be worshiping. That's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ought to stand in awe of Him. For He spake, verse 9, and it was done. Ay, testimony talaga ng Genesis yan. God spake and it was done. I mean, when He said, let there be light, there was light. When He said, separate light from darkness, they moved. Everything happened according to His word. The only one who doesn't follow the word of God are rebellious, sinful people. But everything else follows the word of God. Anyway, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing, to naught. And so, who's sovereign here? It's the Lord who's sovereign. Men, they plan, they devise, they have desires and aspirations and wishes, and they have goals and plans and agenda. But the Lord is who's in control. The counsel of the heathen to nothing, to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. If you don't seek for God's blessing as you, and you don't acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and in your planning and scheming and desires, it's futile. It won't work. That's why we don't trust in man. We don't trust in the calendar. We don't trust in the systems. We trust in the Lord. Now we plan, we have goals, we have desires, we have wishes, and we bring it to the Lord and ask him to prosper it. Because it's God who takes care of us, not ourselves. And this is something we need to really understand. We are natural idolaters. All of us are naturally idolatrous in our heart. And we need to turn our heart from ourself, turn our heart from our idolatrous selfishness, and turn it our focus to the Lord. The Bible says here, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. That's the word of God. So the word of God is also the counsel of the Lord. These are Bible terms. And it stands forever. His thoughts, the thoughts of his heart, the thoughts of God's heart to all generation in verse number 7. So word of the Lord, counsel of the Lord, thoughts of his heart. Imagine that. This Bible is the thoughts of God's heart. You want to know God? You want a good you want to have a relationship with the Lord? You want to know what his heart loves and what he's all about? Study the Bible. This is the thoughts of his heart. That's the counsel of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. They're all parallel. Okay? And it's available to all generations. Thank God. If you have a copy of the Word of God, thank God for that and treasure this. This is heaven's treasure on earth. And thank God that it's available to all generations of believers. verse number 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Is there a nation on earth whose God is the Lord? Israel used to be. America used to be. The Philippines, I pray someday will be. But nationally speaking, here's a promise for any nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. America used to have God as her Lord, until she kicked him out of the public school in the 1960s or 70s. But that's just a symptom of the deeper problem. America forgot the Lord God. The country was founded on principles of the scripture. And more as the years go by, America's forgetting that. England, London, England was founded on around scriptural principles. And yet, look at England now, atheists almost. And Israel, my Israel, founded on Abraham and Moses, the very writers of the scriptures. But where are they today? What's Israel like today? Full of abortion. Full of homosexual sodomites, full of sin. And that's why the Lord is judging these nations because they turn their back on the Lord. So God today doesn't operate on a national scale. He operates in an ecclesiastical scale. He operates in the church house, not the White House, you see. And the way that God is transforming society is by transforming the individual. He saves people one by one, and that salvation transforms the entire human condition. So, blessed is still a promise from the Word of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Now, there is a future blessing for Israel and all nations that will support Israel. One day, Jesus is coming back, and He's going to save ethnic national Israel. Now, there won't be as many as we have today, but probably around 10% of the nation will be saved of Israel, according to the scriptures. But the Lord is interested in Israel and let me put it this way, that whatever God promised Abraham, He will keep. Whatever He promised Israel, He will keep no matter what, because God is faithful, even though we're not faithful. But that promise is still true for Israel and all the nations that will bless Israel. And you just need to read Matthew 24 and 25, and there are nations that support and help Israel. And that's why we need to pray for the peace of Israel, as the scriptures teach. All right, so verse 13, the Lord looks down from heaven and behold all the sons of men. So does God sees us. God sees all of us. Verse 13. Verse 14, for the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. So God is seeking. God is looking over the sons of men. Who is interested in worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth? God is seeking for that. Verse 15, He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. So God's watching us. He's interested. And verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any of his any by his great strength. So but that, don't trust in man. Now, we appreciate in the things that God has given us. We love people. But we don't put our trust in people. Safety doesn't come because of horses, the Bible says. You can have things in place and stuff here and there, but they all break down. People fail. People die. So you don't pin your trust on things and people. You put your faith and trust in the Lord. He never fails. In fact, He's the one who makes things work. So, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. You know, when you're saved, when you're righteous, upright, and you fear the Lord, God's eye is upon you. God watches you. He knows what you're going through. And you can turn to Him and ask Him for grace and for mercy and for help. And always, God shows up. He never fails. Verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Oh, when the whole earth is going through a pandemic, a Christian can still walk with the Lord. A Christian can still be encouraged to have a relationship with God. And God will provide and God will make a way to deliver us. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, not the government. Woo, not the government. Not the healthcare system. Not man. Not the evolutionist scientist. Sorry, we don't trust in you. Our help and our shield is Jehovah, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. That's the name Jehovah, God. Verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Why do we rejoice in the Lord? Why do we praise him? Well, we've learned to trust in him. And our heart shall rejoice in him. Our hearts are full. When God answers prayers, when God comes through in a way that only he can, then you know that he is holy and he is to be trusted and feared. Verse 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. What a prayer. David prays nationally for his people. This is David, King David. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Oh, man, what a wonderful thing if we had a leader, a national leader, who would pray to Jehovah God for the blessing, for mercy. Maybe next time we can elect someone better. anyway, whatever. According as we hope in thee. And so there you have Psalm 33 and all that. Blessing from the Lord. So what is the main lesson for Psalm 33? Rejoice, trust in the Lord, and reverence him. Fear him. Stand in awe of him. All right? So I thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. And then next week we'll go into Psalm 34. And this will be an exciting psalm that links us back to the life of David. he did some crazy things in Psalm 34. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. When we think about how good you are and how powerful you are and how sovereign you are over everything, Lord, it humbles us. And we are excited. We rejoice in you. We praise you, Lord, because we can trust in you and hope in you that you will come through. You always show up, Lord. You always bless those who are righteous and upright in your sight. So, Father, I pray your cleansing, the cleansing blood and upon us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to praise you and worship you and reverence you in fear and in truth, Lord. For your kindness towards us, Lord. Certainly pray what David prayed. Lord, have mercy upon us, O Lord, for we trust in you, Lord. We expect great things from you, Lord, because of Jesus Christ. And we ask your help upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.